the United States Supreme Court last week upheld the subsidies for hundreds of thousands of Georgians who receive health care through exchanges established under Obamacare. And many of those individuals are in rural Georgia counties, where seven rural hospitals have already closed, though, Dennis, since 2001. Now, that's according to the State Office of Rural Health.
Now, a lack of hospitals is not the only health care challenge facing Georgia's rural population. They also have too few primary care physicians and facilities. Dr. Jean Sumner is Associate Dean for Rural Health at the Mercer School of Medicine. She's also a primary care physician who's practiced in rural Georgia for more than 20 years. Dr. Sumner, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Real quickly, your reaction to the Supreme Court's ruling on Obamacare last week, and since it really didn't change anything that we have now, is it going to have any immediate effect on the rural healthcare system or on patients there?
I think the decision will have very little effect on what we're facing out here. The people who have been able to sign up for the subsidies and get some plan often have faced huge hurdles in accessing care because their deductibles are so large, and it negates their ability to tie into some of the programs that gave them free care or free medicine. So it's not been very impactful so far. I think a much more pressing problem is what you just referred to as the lack of providers, lack of physicians, lack of people to provide care, and that is a huge access obstacle.
Well, tied into that is whether or not the state would expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. That was not at issue in this Supreme Court ruling. But if the state were to expand Medicaid or find another solution, as at least has been talked about at the Capitol, would that affect the ability of patients to get access to physicians? In other words, would more physicians be out there treating those patients?
I don't believe that's the answer to the problem. The main problem is training primary care physicians that have the skills to do well in rural areas and developing networks with some of the larger systems of care that support those individuals, and the use of extenders overseen by primary care physicians to provide a network that people can access. Right now in a rural community, even if you have a physician at 5 o'clock, there's very little care. So we need to relook at some of the walls that have been built between patients and physicians and their providers and tear those walls down to make it a little easier to access care.
And Dr. Sumner, it may come a shock to some people when we talk about the rural community. You're talking about some set of circumstances that one may not think of. I interviewed a rural doctor just earlier this year who talked about in the part of the state that he was. He said, look, we have one ambulance here, and the next hospital, I guess clinic, was like 106 miles away for his patients. So when we talk about the plight of rural hospitals and community centers, it is quite, it's a stark difference in what may be facing here, let's say in the Atlanta area or any other urban environment.
Absolutely. And I think the science and the support of rural health is critical to this state in terms of economic development and bringing jobs into areas where there are no jobs. I think that one of the problems today is we train young physicians in academic urban settings where they're not exposed to many of the issues that rural patients face or some of the very complex problems that you see in an office in a rural community. Mercer is making an effort to address that, and that they're starting some rural training tracks and also incentivizing students to go into a three-year med school three-year residency program to get them out of school a little sooner with a little less debt.
Well, that was my next question. How do you get those residents to, I hate using this term, buy in, but how do you get them to sort of understand the plight of the rural community, because it will be different, and also retaining them once they become physicians?
Well, as you may know, residents tend to locate where their residencies are. So if they train in Atlanta, they tend to not be far from Atlanta or Macon or Augusta. I believe that one key part of that has to be bringing those training programs out into rural areas. There's very good medicine practice in small towns across this state, and the doctors who are there who are doing their part do a good job. But young physicians come in and think, oh my gosh, you know, if in Atlanta, if you have a heart attack, cardiologist, pulmonologist, every specialist is at your beck and call. here, you're the only doctor in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So you need strong clinical skills, and you need strong partnerships with support from systems that would support the transfer of that patient, or you know, help with technology to allow you to access specialty care when needed.
Dr. Jean Sumner, we're speaking with her. She's the Associate Dean for Rural Health at the Mercer School of Medicine. She's also a primary care physician who's practiced in rural Georgia for more than 20 years, and that's what we're talking about, the rural health care system. Dr. Sumner, how much of it, though, boils down to money? A resident that you and Rose were just talking about might come out of an urban medical school and say, look, I'm going to go someplace where I can make the kind of money that I need to pay off my medical school debt. And is there anything on the horizon now in terms of incentives that would attract a better balance of physicians to the rural areas?
You know, there are very good programs for the Physician Workforce Board and scholarship repayment loans. The larger systems have realized that they help put patients in outlying areas, that it actually decreases their bottom line to some degree because they don't get catastrophic illness that comes to them. They have better primary care. But I think that part of what you're saying is a myth. If you practice good quality medicine in a rural area, there are payers that come here, and you have plenty of patients. And in this particular county, which is Johnson County, Wrightsville, Georgia, we have our practice and a federally qualified community health center. A few years back, we patterned where we drew patients from, and we drew patients from 22 counties. In the same way that you might drive across Atlanta, which would take you an hour to get to a good restaurant, people will drive a distance to get to a doctor that cares about them. But we need young physicians that have the skills to be able to practice and survive here. And that includes being a good business person.
So are you saying that it's a perception problem partly among the young physicians?
It is partly a perception problem. Because these young people train in urban areas with mentors that never came to a rural area or never appreciated the contribution or the fun of being a small-town doctor.
Dr. Sumner, I want to sort of focus in on a specific population here, and if you can connect the dots here, when you talk about no or little access, let's say, for example, for prenatal care, and then that could possibly lead to problems with the birth, and then that leads to a whole set of other problems. When you talk about access to health care for women in these rural areas, then that opens up a whole nother set of issues as well.
Absolutely. But in my mind, we need to structure women's obstetrical care and gynecological care in these communities, build a system that works, but take residents and attendings from some of the academic centers and bring them out to these areas once, twice a month. But if you're a mother who's pregnant and somebody tells you you have to drive 80 miles to see an OB guy for 15 minutes and you're trying to hold down a job and somebody has to take care of your kids, that's very difficult. So why can't we have nurse practitioners or obstetrics and gynecology physicians who would come here once a month to see the prenatal visits and to have, you know, they can bring the ultrasound machine with them. The technology is there to allow them to do the assessments they need to do in this community instead of transporting people 80 to 100 miles to see someone. In years past, I know when I was a resident, when I was a student, we used to go out to the surrounding health department and with the OBGYN attendings and see patients for a day. And so we developed a relationship with those women. They knew who was going to deliver the baby. They knew what system they were going into, but the care was local. And local care is important to quality care. It makes it a lot easier to access.
And although it's not the magic fix, some say telemedicine has been at least sort of helpful in that area. What are your thoughts on that?
Telemedicine is going to be a huge part of rural care and urban care because it allows specialty care to come into a community. And it supports the local practices that are on the ground and the infrastructure. But it needs to be quality telemedicine. It needs to be the technology that allows the patient to be examined adequately. Right now, I know the Georgia Partnership for Telehealth is doing obstetrical ultrasound from afar, and an OB doctor is viewing them with the help of a nurse practitioner and different situations across the state. That's great care. That woman can go back to her job or go back to her children, and they get the test they need. So telehealth is going to be a major factor in health care everywhere, but it has to be quality telehealth. It has to be telehealth that allows an adequate exam and done within the guidelines of the state. I think it also should not replace physicians on the ground or providers on the ground. It needs to be part of their practice, like another tool in their toolbox, another stethoscope or otoscope.
And Dr. Sumner, on that point, we have heard the argument that in order to maximize the effectiveness of the resources we have now in the rural areas, some more rural hospitals might need to either close or at least downsize to emergency facilities so they could combine resources with others and thus ensure that there's more efficient care for more people. Is there some merit to that?
You know, I am certainly supportive of rural hospitals, but I do think that we don't use a hospital like we used to in many areas, and much of the care is transitioning to the home and to the community. I do think we need facilities because without them, people die. You need to be able to go to an institution, be stabilized and transferred, or treat illnesses that are less critical or need stabilization before transfer. So certainly maybe we don't need as many hospitals, but rural hospitals are vital to the survival of Georgians in rural areas. That said, if a hospital serves as a hub, that hospital needs to support community care in surrounding areas. There needs to be urgent care outreach, needs to be provision of care for, support of the EMS services that are here. One of the things that we're doing in Hancock County, and I think many people have heard of, is Hancock County has no hospital and only recently has established a federally qualified community health center there. We've partnered with Navison Health and Putnam General to put telehealth bags on the ambulances. So when someone calls 911, if it's non-emergent, the paramedic can actually connect that patient to the emergency room in Putnam County, and the doctor can examine that patient, do a 12-lead EKG, and assess the patient. And if appropriate, that patient can receive care in his home. We then want that patient to be connected to a primary care doctor, so they'll develop a primary care relationship, and we'll connect them to their doctor or to the FQHC or to whoever they'd like for us to make sure they have an appointment for follow-up.
Those
systems of care are important to rural Georgia as well.
And if we have that kind of shifting of resources and adoption of new ones, does that mean we will have to see in some of these rural areas particularly more ambulances, for instance, better transportation networks, better coordination among the existing facilities so that patients who really need to get to a hospital that might be far away can get there as quick as they can?
Absolutely. We need partnerships, strong institutions to help support networks in rural Georgia, and I think that's the future of healthcare in this state. That partnership would be vital to supporting care in a rural underserved community. And I believe those institutions, though, primarily are stepping up to the plate and trying to provide that guidance and leadership. I believe they are, but as rural Georgians, we need to demand the same quality of care that you get in Atlanta. Well, I believe that can be provided.
And Dr. Sumner, that sort of leads us to the last question as we wrap up here. In order to make sure that the plight of the rural hospitals and community centers is not going unheard, how helpful do you think lawmakers have been in all of this, too, in making sure that there is funding and those resources? Do you feel like you have enough allies in the General Assembly to continue, you know, your plight and what you all need?
You know, I think Governor Deal, Senator David Lucas have been two people that have been particularly helpful to us. I think the leadership of the state Senate and House has been incredible. They're looking for solutions, but the solutions are not easy. And those of us in rural Georgia that are practicing need to help as well and guidance of them of what we need. It has to come from the ground up. Plans, we need to assess what we need and ask for help in achieving that, but we all need to take part. But I do think that the present leadership in Atlanta has really tried to address the problem. It's a complex problem, and it's going to be a while before we solve it.
Dr. Jean Sumner is the Associate Dean for Rural Health at the Mercer School of Medicine and primary care physician who's practiced in rural Georgia for more than two decades. Dr. Sumner, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.